One of one.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
Help me understand a little bit more clearly what you're asking.
Did you ever hear it called Don't Go Jason Waterfalls?
Is this Matt Hamilton?
So I kind of just thought of this question on the spot. So it needs to be workshopped a little. I'm not going to lie.
You are the famous Matt.
Jason Wilde is on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
Oh, snap! What's up with that? What's up with that?
Hey, I was here when we decided to switch this to What's Up With That. Alex Gravatt alongside Matt Hamilton. Jason Wilde joins us now. Jason, how you doing today?
What's up, G? Great to be with you. I'm excited you're on today.
Me too. Jim can, you know, I don't know, he's flying somewhere. Good for him. But we're talking a little bit about swearing right now, which I'm sure Jesse Nelson's really excited about. And you don't strike me as someone who swears a lot, Jason. Is that right?
I swear in the car when the girls aren't in it, and I even once in a while in a weak moment when they are. But yeah, I wouldn't say that I've got a really bad potty mouth, but I will also say this: there have been times, and Jesse would know this from the audio. Like I've been known to slip in a profanity or two during an interview. Not on our air, but like in the locker room. That was a really blank and big play, right? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm not above that. I'm no saint when it comes to potty language, but I definitely am. I think I'm on the low end of the spectrum of usage.
All right, that's fair.
Yeah, Matt and I give the vibes and probably live the lifestyles of people who use more profanity than
Jason Wilde.
Jason, yes. Wilde. Do you remember the first time you swore or got punished for swearing in front of your parents?
Ooh, I remember vividly the scene in A Christmas Story.
Yep.
Oh, fudge.
Yeah.
But I do not. I mean, my dad worked in a machine shop for 40 years, a place that in the summertime, it didn't have air conditioning, so it would be like 120 degrees in there. So he was not a soft fellow, and he was known to use colorful language pretty much all the time. So I don't recall getting in trouble for swearing. I do remember the one. I went to a Lutheran grade school, and we were playing like tic-tac-toe in fifth grade on a sheet of paper, and I wrote Ryan sucks after I beat him, and I got like a call home to my parents and punished. Luckily, not with the paddle, which when I was a kid, they actually had, which is incredible to me, that you could spank a child legally. I did not get the paddle for that. Spare the paddle, spoil the child, I suppose.
Yeah.
But yeah, sucks. Sucks was apparently a bridge too far for writing it down on the tic-tac-toe sheet. That's the best recollection I can give you.
Strofe said sucks too much on Rutledge and Hamilton, and we had a texter in. Call him out for it.
No idea. Irrelevant.
Classic Strofe, am I right? You ever caught your kids? You have any of those stories?
So, I mean, there's a couple times, you know, the girls now, Maddie just turned 15 and Sid will be 14 in March. So, they're getting to an age now where if I'm, and they very rarely give me a reason to be especially angry, but on occasion, like if Sydney doesn't do the litter boxes and like is kind of being a lazy bum, she gets get your S together occasionally.
Yeah.
But again, Paula, Jesse just sent a text to us, and I think he's, as much as it pains me to say this, I think he's right. He said, I think Jason is a chameleon cusser. He only swears when around others who are also swearing. I think he's right. Like I was talking to LaFleur before the playoff game. I interviewed him on Friday before the loss to the Eagles, and he swore a couple of times, and then suddenly I found myself swearing in my questions. So I think Jesse's right. Now he also, you know, I've been battling a little bit of a congestion, and I interviewed him, and then I went to shake his hand, and he snubbed me, and he tried to give me the elbow. And I'm like, you sound, and then I said the S word, idiot, than I do, and you're not shaking my hand? He's like, I don't want what you got. And I said, well, I don't want what you got.
Oh, Jason Wilde joins the show. This is Jim, Matt, Molly. I'm Alex Gravatt in for Jim Rutledge. Side Matt Hamilton. Molly's still out with babies. But I think that's a good point. So you're talking a little bit about the reason we talk about all of this is because this morning, Hunter Vaughn, producer of Mr. Irrelevant, was talking about how someone on his high school swim team once got effectively kicked off the team for the most important meet of the year because they swore in a text message that they sent during school hours. And it was a very heavy hand. And obviously this whole week is being dominated by Ben Johnson's pretty lame remarks, in my opinion. But I want to hear a little bit about what you thought of the whole press conference yesterday where he tried to make a joke that felt like it fell pretty flat.
Well, first of all, I'm going to need to talk to Hunter some more because now I am completely fascinated. He's a Cowboys fan. He's a Gerald Ford fan, and he's a former swimmer.
Oh yeah, he swam in college.
What an enigma! Like when they're done with Rogers on Netflix, they can do Enigma 2, the Hunter Vaughn story. So a couple things. I mean, first of all, I don't know. I'm not in charge of HR, but the idea that Molly's still out with babies, I don't, is that what we call it now? That said.
Well, she is.
I understand. I think there's some more, is there maternity leave, I think is a technical term. But my joke right there fell almost as flat as Ben Johnson and the shot he took at LaFleur, which I still don't understand. Like, I first of all, you beat him twice this year, and you beat them twice in 2022. You were only with the Lions for 3 years. And the middle year, they won the game in Detroit on Thanksgiving, which is like the signature day for the Lions. Secondly, you're not the defensive coordinator. So, like, what's your rivalry with LaFleur? Like, if Aaron Glenn had said that, hey, we shut down LaFleur's offense 6 times in my time there. That would be one thing, but you were the other offensive coordinator. Like, it didn't even make sense, right? And then, mm-hmm. you know, again, and I'm sure that there are going to be, because I've already heard from them, Bears fans saying, oh, look, Ben Johnson's already living in your head. I don't care what he said about LaFleur. I just thought it wasn't funny. I thought it was lame.
Jason.
Like, I just didn't think it. I didn't get it.
Do you know if they're friends, LaFleur and Johnson?
They're not. They are. Oh. Definitely not. They don't have history together. They never worked together. They're not friends. Because that was the thing that I said. I can't remember if I said it to Strofe on Weekly Wildy or if I said it to KBN earlier. But I was like, it'd be one thing if it was Sean McVay, right? And him saying, man, I never get tired of beating Matt. Right? And in fact, it goes the other way. Like, LaFleur has beaten McVay, like, almost every time they played, except for one, or maybe every time they played. But those guys are like brothers. So that would be like elbowing your brother, saying, ah, got you again. Beat you in horse in the driveway. Like, there's no connectivity between those guys. None whatsoever. So it makes no sense at all.
Well, apparently all you need to do is be in Chicago and the Packers automatically live rent-free in your head. Because that's what it seems like to me. Like, if there is no connection, he clearly was trying to make a joke, but you're right. Like, he has nothing to do with it.
And he didn't say it about the Packers. He made it personal about LaFleur. Now, again, I am sure that when you talk to Capman and other, you know, Jim, when he lands safely and all the other stuff, they'll brush it off. But I would also say this, like, I have no problem with the new Bears coach saying stuff and making bold statements about beating the Packers. That doesn't bother me. I mean, I'm not a Packers fan, so maybe that's why. But, like, if he had gotten up there and said, look, you know, I want to thank all the coaches that were here before me. I know it's been a challenge in the last, you know, decade or so, but I love the fact that this team beat the Packers on the last day of the season. You know, I was part of doing that when we weren't going to the playoffs with the Lions in 2022. That was a great feeling, and I know they'd won a bunch of games in a row before, you know, that win on the last day of the season. I'm going to make sure that that's the start of a new streak. They had 11 in a row. That was the first one, and now we're going to get the next 10 with me as the coach. Like, if he had done that or something along those lines, hey, man, count me in. Love it, right? Stoke the fires of the rivalry. But some sort of awkward shot at a head coach when you've never been a head coach, I don't think it should bother you as a Packers fan. I certainly don't think it should bother you if you're Matt LaFleur, although it definitely would want me to kick his ass more. But, like, it just was weird. It was awkward. It just didn't make sense to me.
So, you know, somebody mentioned this. I don't remember exactly who. It might have been Michelle Smallman on Unsportsmanlike, which you can hear in the mornings here. But this becomes bulletin board material for the Green Bay Packers. And I'm sorry, but right now, the way that I feel, and KBN's feeling the same way, they've got a poll question out. If you could guarantee a sweep of any team in the NFC North, which one would it be? And it's a pretty much exact split, 33-33-33. The Bears aren't on my bulletin board as a Packers fan. I don't care what Ben Johnson said. Do you think that that's fair at this point?
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, they did win the last matchup. In the grand scheme of things, it didn't matter at all. The more disconcerting thing was that the Packers went into the playoffs having not played very well in that game. And Matt LaFleur can say there's no such thing as momentum, but there's definitely something to the idea of a lack of momentum, which is exactly how they went into the postseason.
Did he really say there's no such thing as momentum?
Yeah, he doesn't believe in momentum.
Did he get that from Aaron Rodgers?
Even though he went into the playoffs on a three-game winning streak a year ago and then went and beat the Cowboys and were flying high for three quarters in San Francisco, and I'm pretty sure he said that he liked the momentum that they had going back then. So, again,
yeah,
you know,
I don't like that take.
You have to say that when you don't have any. Right?
I guess.
I believe in momentum, and we ain't got any. We might as well not even play in Philly on Sunday. So I get it. But my issue is that, again, if you want to fire up the fan base, great. Every Bears coach has tried to do that in some form or fashion. I get it. But I always go back to this because I asked Lovie Smith about it at an NFL meetings. You know, quite a while ago, remember when he got the job, what he said? He said, you know, our first priority is to beat the Packers. And everybody was like, ooh, I can't believe he said that. But there was a reason for it. And that reason was the Packers were the big dog on the block when he got the job. And he had in his mind, look, if we're going to win the division, we got to beat the Packers. If we win the division, we make the playoffs. If we win the division, we get a home game. If we win the division, the next step is let's get a bye in the playoffs. And that gives us a better chance of making it to the Super Bowl. So his mentality about beating the Packers was a part of a bigger picture of wanting to be a Super Bowl team, which, by the way, they were with him as the head coach and Rex freaking Grossman at quarterback. So maybe he knew what he was doing, and maybe, you know, it would have been a better play for, again, I am not offended by what he said about Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur might be, or he might think he's a clown, but if Ben Johnson had called me before his press conference, said, Jason, I know you covered the team, you just finished your 29th year, I know you're not a fan, so I'm asking for your help. If you were to tell me, how can I zing the Packers, what would you say? I certainly wouldn't have suggested that. What I would have said was, hey, be a student of history and say, look, X number of years ago, Lovie Smith took this job and he said his biggest priority was beating the Packers. I just came from the Lions. we had gone forever without beating them. Now we've beaten them six out of the last seven times or whatever it was. Now that I'm here with the Bears, I want to beat the Lions. I want to beat the Vikings. But I really want to beat the Packers. And given their history against us, that is where we want to start. We're going to beat those guys every year, and we're going to make the playoffs, and that's what matters to me. So I know it's a big rivalry, and I'm here for every bit of it. That would have been the way I would have advised him. But again, that's not the way he chose to go.
Man, you had if I were Jim right now, which I'm sitting in a seat, if I were Jim right now, I'd feel better about you coaching the Bears than I do about you, Johnson.
So you can tell Rutledge that.
All right. Do you have anything else for us, Jason?
Well, no. I would say this. Ben Johnson knows a lot more about diagramming plays on offense, but I think I would have won the press conference if I had gotten the job, but that's about all I would have won. I'd have to ask Bears fans, but I got the impression that other than his lame-o line about LaFleur, he actually did pretty well, did he not?
From what I heard, I went back and listened. Yesterday, I'd only really listened to the clip that went viral. I listened to a little bit more of it, and I listened to more of him walking into a thunderous applause from the Bears staff. And it does sound better for the most part, but just the way that he slunk into his shoulders and puffed out his bottom lip and gave a big smirk before that joke really gave me the ick and set the bar pretty low for him in my mind.
Yeah, well, he will ultimately be judged on how good their offense is, how good Caleb Williams is, and how often they beat Matt LaFleur. So we'll have to wait and see.
All right, Jason, thanks so much for your time. This is Jim, Matt, Molly, presented by Coors Light.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, ESPN Madison on YouTube, and Wisconsin On Demand.